Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. Today I wanted to talk to you about why it's so hard to understand that pathologically narcissistic people by and large cannot change. It's the same reason it's often hard to understand that this is actually a disorder, so I thought we could address it on the show today. When we think of psychological disturbances, we think of something that's always present. And since it's always present, we believe that we will always see it. When someone is dealing with something like schizophrenia or something like that, that's usually how it is, unless they're on medication or things like that. But with pathological narcissism, this is not the case. Their behavior doesn't always seem disordered. They often seem very capable of navigating life like everybody else, until they don't. This is very confusing. How can someone have a psychological disturbance, but it doesn't always affect them? The truth is that it actually does, but it's not always obvious. So to us, it looks like it's not affecting them at all during these times. Many people believe that if someone is behaving, quote, normally, they're not being affected by something. If they are not being affected by something all the time, they don't have a psychological disturbance. We often hear people say things like, well, they were okay for a little while, but then they went back to the old them. Or they seem normal for a few days or a few months or whatever it is, but then they went back to being a narcissist again. As we've discussed in episodes of the show like Narcissists or Narcissistic 24 Hours a Day, there is no going back to being a narcissist again. The whole cycle is narcissistic. The whole cycle is their normal behavior. This is how they are all the time. Their entire experience is alternating between these different states of being. Their identity is unstable and their perception is affected greatly, causing them to constantly shift between these different versions of themselves depending on what is needed at the time. It's important to remember that just because some versions of the person fit better into the box of, quote, normal behavior than others, this is not evidence that someone is not psychologically disordered. It's in fact a big red flag that someone probably is disordered, because people who are not disordered don't do that. They don't try on different versions of themselves until they find one that is beneficial to the moment. They don't have different personalities for different moods or different situations. One of the biggest reasons it's so difficult to accept that this really is disordered thinking is the narcissist's notorious ability to control their abusive or toxic behavior in front of other people. We automatically assume that if someone is affected by a disorder or a psychological disturbance, they can't help any of their behavior or they're not conscious of it. This is not the case with personality disorders. That's one of the main problems with treating them. The reasons people are making the choices to behave this way in the first place, how they are coming to these conclusions, and how they justify their behavior, these things are actually part of what qualifies narcissists as disordered. The way they process information and how they think of things is where a huge part of the problem lies. It's not about whether they know they're doing something wrong, it's why they are doing it and why they think it's okay that's the problem. And remember, that's not an excuse for their behavior, it's just why they're classified as disordered. People often say that narcissists are capable of behaving as they should when they know they need to, and that's absolutely true. However, they're not capable of doing it for very long. It really is a smokescreen in a manner of speaking, and it's not a very good one. For example, they might be able to pull out the right version of themselves in front of the police. But what if the police stayed for 6 hours, or 3 days, or a week? What if they were there for a month? It would likely become a much different story. Someone who is pathologically narcissistic has a true psychological disturbance, and it's not one that can be hidden. Even when they're doing a pretty good job of controlling their behavior, they often still reveal their dysfunctional mindset and way of thinking because you can't hide something if you can't or won't acknowledge that it's even there. If people don't accept that pathological narcissism truly is a psychological disturbance and a serious one, there's only one other explanation. This person is doing these things because they either don't understand or, you know, because they don't care, because they're just mean. While both of these things can be and usually are true in a manner of speaking, they're not the only problem, and they carry the unfortunate connotation that they can be changed if someone can be convinced that they should change them. This keeps people hanging on to these relationships for years, trying to convince the narcissist to agree with them that they're an abuser and agree to get help or stop the behavior. In their so-called moments of epiphany, the narcissist may even agree to do so. They might agree that they're abusive and they need help. They might even attempt to get help. Contrary to popular belief, this is really not that uncommon, and it keeps people hanging on even longer because they think they've made a breakthrough and real change is going to follow. This is a big reason there's danger in demonizing narcissists. When one comes along that doesn't fit the stereotype, they're not recognized for what they are, and they can do a huge amount of damage before the truth is finally understood. People hold tightly to what they perceive as positive qualities because they believe this means somebody cannot be a narcissist, therefore they can change. He says that he'll get help. He can't be a narcissist. She apologized. She can't be a narcissist. They said they understand that they're the problem. A narcissist would never do that. All of these things are untrue. They are stereotypical overgeneralizations that just cause more confusion. Narcissists are just like everybody else in that they don't usually fit neatly into any box or category. Trying to put them into one is only leaving ourselves vulnerable to hurt and abuse when we can't recognize someone for who they are because they don't fit into our preconceived notions of what something or someone is supposed to look like. With narcissists, it's hard enough already to understand what you're dealing with because it can seem like every day you're dealing with a different person. This is how these disorders work. There is no stability in the emotions, thought processes, mindsets, decisions, convictions, personalities, or identities of narcissists. Everything is simply in the moment. They may have meant what they said at the time, or they may not have meant it, but either way it doesn't matter because that was then and this is now. Today they are a different version of themselves, and so reality has changed. So has what they will agree with and what they want or are willing to do. And even if someone is willing to address their disordered thinking and dysfunctional behavior, it doesn't mean they can. The desire to do something does not confer or even indicate the ability to do it. That's why it's important to understand that having a mental illness, disorder, or a history of trauma does not excuse or justify abusive behavior, ever. Understanding that pathological narcissism is a disorder helps combat cognitive dissonance as well, because when we can stop trying to fit the narcissist into either the good or bad category and start putting them in the disordered category, we can make better sense of their behavior or realize that it will never make sense and be okay with that. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text, via messenger, via email, and through Skype. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org to go ahead and do that. I teach workshops a few times a month, so if you're interested in seeing what we're running right now, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by shamanspiritcenter.com and littleshaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.